When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, Captain. Sorry to just...
Hey there.
Jason, is it?
Yeah, that's my...
Sorry.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. You finally got it the day I'm leaving.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember.
I'm so sad to see you. You were so helpful on...
I'm leaving.
Hold on. Deck, right?
Deck? Yeah. I was
that's what you...
Deck crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember? Look down at my feet, Captain, saying, remember my toes? Remember
those
toes?
Oh, yeah, your toes. I remember them now.
I'm really...
Pretty, yeah. And your pretty hair. Very Paulina Porchkova.
That don't
had a crush
know who
on
that
her
is.
Back in the day.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Just
her on feet. A motorbike really will still get me going.
All right. You know, I
yeah.
Just
well,
wanted...
you know, text me or something.
Oh yeah,
I'll
text you.
Say right.
Yeah, I'll text you my. I'll text you my number, and then you can just contact me. We'll keep in touch. I'll text you my.
No,
number.
Don't do that.
What?
Text me your name too, because you know me. I don't remember things like that, and. Jason, was it?
You don't call me Greg anymore. I appreciate that, Captain Sandy. It was a pleasure.
Is it Greg? Oh my God!
No,
I've been
Jason.
Saying. Sorry,
Jason. I just remember the toes. Remember,
you know
that's
what?
The one thing that makes me interesting. I paint my toes.
You were always a good deckhand. I do know that. I remember the time when you were working out there, and the sunlight was kind of glinting off your bald head and your mustache, and I was thinking, you look great today. You're really knowing what you're doing as my bosun.
That's Storm.
Oh, so who are you? I'm sorry.
You'll give me a good reference, right?
Take care. Greg, right?
And see Greg.
There was one point where she had to. There was one point where she's like, "So what do we do here?
What
do we hug?" We never had any interaction once.
No.
She's like, "So yeah, text me." And he's like, "But give me your name because I will not remember
you at all." Yeah.
Oh,
I don't even know if he has her number.
Captain Sandy's had so she's gotten a really good edit this season. She's not been awful, and really, she's not. Overstepped her bounds, because I think Malia is a trigger for her, even though she loves her. So it's weird for Captain Sandy not to have had a big shame pity party for anybody.
Oh, for
but
sure.
She
for
does
sure.
have a lot of it. All her interactions are great.
Oh,
this was especially nice.
Y'all, well, this is Below Deck Med season 7
BDSM episode season 7 episode
I like
14
what you did
there. In a bind.
I like
in
what
a bind
you did there. Again, great titles, Bravo. Thank you.
In a bind. Get it, like in a sex sling.
Yeah,
BDSM.
No, you and I get it. I don't think Dave and half the people on the and Reed definitely doesn't get it.
Poor Reed.
Poor y'all. Reed.
We've got a nice Gomer from Alabama as our new deckhand. Yep, I'm here to solve the dick. He's got a big old dick,
he's
though.
Got a
I can
big,
see
big old
it
dick,
in his
y'all.
Face.
Y'all,
y'all
got a big
don't know
old
what
dick.
To do with it, but he's like, oh, rope, oh, yeah. Can I put it in your hole?
Golly, Miss McKenzie, this feels pretty good. You sure your husband won't be home?
I never fucked my second cousin before.
Speak for yourself. I'm from Oklahoma.
Sorry, my neighbor just dropped another thing of ball bearings. So if you
I
see
didn't
me,
hear it, luckily.
If you see me look over in the corner of the room.
All right, y'all. Let's jump into this. Poodle, what's your first teabag?
Oh, I was going to intro our live shows. Oh, never mind.
Isn't it? When this airs? Yeah, this is.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
is it?
We still have Tampa left.
Oh,
as
Tampa.
Of now.
Okay, I thought we were done. We're recording things early because we're on tour.
Y'all, you know me. I'm not good with knowing when things are or what time things are.
And in your defense, I'm actually in Atlanta right now. Poodle's joining me tomorrow. I came early to see a friend tomorrow, but we will be.
I stayed here to get banged.
And as you needed to.
Yeah.
And we're going to be in Atlanta. We've already done it, but we are going to be on Sunday. But again, this is like now we're in Back to Future 3, where we don't know if we're in the future or in the past. What's happening? We need to move on.
And your hair kind of looks like Doc Brown.
It kind of does. Marty! It's true. Okay.
So, yeah, come see us in Tampa, y'all. You can go to our Instagram, Linktree, and buy tickets there. It's going to be really fun. We're doing Single Life Friday, the 14th, and my big birthday show on the 15th. Still planning that.
Amber and Daniel are going to come, too. They're not going to be interviewed, but they're going to come and be in the audience, so that'll be
Yay.
Fun.
Yay! I think they're bringing their gay friend, too.
Courtney never got back to us.
I don't know if she's coming or not.
You should
She'll
reach
probably
out to
show
her again.
Up. I will. Yeah. Sorry. I can't reach out to these moving targets. I got too many things to do.
And we might, by the time we record this, though, I think, I got to check her Instagram, but I think Rebecca and Zied might come.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you saw that. Now, this could be after Atlanta, and y'all have heard, and they didn't come. So, you know, who knows?
Okay.
That's just cock teasing people. We need to move on. What's your first teabag?
Let's talk about the fact that fucking Dave can't help himself. It's like, you can wear my shoes if you want. Oh, I hate wet feet. I hate just, my feet getting wet.
Just let her feet get wet, Dave. Just let her feet get wet.
And y'all, he gives her his shoes and she's kind of like, of course, she goes immediately to call her boyfriend because what's a night out with friends without some emotional abuse for her?
Okay, I just want to say this was the saddest night out ever, just period. I mean, already Storm has walked off. Can't even cover. Storm's like, I'm gone. Fuck all you guys. Storm literally says, I'm going to be more entertained by going to do Anchor Watch than instead of being around you assholes. So he's gone. And now this, I mean, it was just.
And Z has to comfort Storm, and he's just looked over his best friend as lead deckhand.
Yep. And the woman who was chosen lead deckhand, he secretly wants to bang, and she doesn't want to be with him.
You mean C?
Yeah.
it's weird. But Z says later, Court's happiness overrides my own sadness. He's such a good person.
He's too good.
He is. He's too pure for our world.
He is too pure for
but
our
y'all,
world.
Tosh, it doesn't. Speaking of someone who has absolutely no relationship EQ at all, fucking Tosh, she's basically calling her boyfriend's like, I miss you. I need to talk. I need to speak to my dogs. And Dave's like, come on, we need to leave. Dave. He should not have been there, but
No.
But the idea when she said, I want to speak to my dogs, he should have left. But at this, and then the boyfriend said, who obviously knew who it was, said, leave me alone. Fuck off. She loses her mind, sobs in the bathroom. Of course, I like Courtney saying, not mine.
No, I mean, y'all, not crying, but just like
sobbing, racked with sobs. I don't want any more men in my life. Just you, Kyle. You'll be my faghead forever. I'll be your faghead forever.
The thing when Kyle looked at her and said, you need to get off the fucking man train. That's the truth. I don't know if she'll hear that, but I hope she does.
He enables it, though. He enables this shit.
It is this classic woman falls apart, gay man builds her back up.
Yeah.
Ugh. Boy, I've been there in my 20s, and let me tell you, y'all.
Yeah, you used to. That was your alter ego for a long time.
I got out of it. Those women don't talk to me anymore, and I'm okay with that.
You're a lot happier.
I am a lot happier.
What do you, I think we talked about it last episode, but what do you think about Natasha kind of saying that to him? And later on, she's like, we were having a private conversation that only us two could have heard when he was confronting her about it.
They weren't having a private conversation.
I agree.
She was talking about it loudly at the table.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I still think she, look, Talia's a dick. She's just an asshole. I like her, but she's just an asshole. But she's a likable asshole because she's funny.
And I think, like we said before, she's right most of the time. She just has a very unfortunate way of saying things.
Yeah, for sure.
You can tell she is sick and tired of most of the people on this boat. Actually, she's just annoyed with Kyle and Tasha's clique.
Sorry, I thought you were done.
I'm done.
I relate to Tasha and Kyle because when y'all, some days I wake up in the morning and I go over to Poodle's and I go, how was your day? And Jake looks at me and says, I've got six personalities today. Pick one. And I'm scared. I'm in fear.
I've got six personalities today. You just pick one. I love, God, I love her.
That's it. It's that she almost like, she has these moments where she calls out her own ridiculousness and absurdity.
Yes.
But instead of fixing that absurdity, she almost doubles down on it and says, but this is who I am.
Well, a lot of things, the way she gets through a working environment is through kind of insults with people. And it all works fine until it's not surfacey anymore.
So there's truth in the insults.
Yeah, and you can kind of overlook it.
It's the fine line of the difference of doing a really well done roast of someone, a comedy roast, or just being mean to them. And honestly, this is so gay, what I'm about to say. We really see this a lot in Drag Race. When they do the roast, because there's always a queen or two who's just mean.
Yeah.
And that's where she started off being more comedy roast, and now she's just going to mean.
Yeah, I agree. I think...
God, that's gay.
It is. I don't expect any less.
You love me, honestly, you whore.
I don't know why my microphone lights turn from green to orange. I hope that's not something wrong.
No, you probably pressed a button. I think you're going back and forth between the microphone and your speakers.
Oh, no. Is that bad?
No, it just don't touch it.
Okay.
Don't touch the hot iron, Poodle, just like Aisha.
What are you talking about? Y'all, Aisha had a TikTok that someone had sent me, and she was at home in New Zealand, and she's like, oh, I'm so home. I can't believe I'm so excited. It's like, I'm just so fucking excited to see the people I grew up with. And she's like, it's just ridiculous. And she was so happy. She's like, it's so beautiful here. Well, maybe not here, because that house is shit. But she was so funny. I love imitating her. I'd love to meet her and do it right in front of her face.
Oh, she would love it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
She's such a good time. I love her. Did you have another tea bag? I'm sorry. Did you already say it?
We saw her this episode because we saw her in flashbacks, right?
Yeah. We saw her in Below Deck.
She was on Below Deck Med. Yeah.
Yeah. In the season with Tom.
Tom, the cook.
Yeah.
Who Hannah ended up, not Hannah.
Malia.
Malia ended up dating, yeah?
No, she dated him before.
Okay, but they're not together now.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Were you into Tom?
He was hot at the beginning, but he was such an asshole. He was a little crazy, but not crazy fun crazy, just a dick.
Again, you got to be fun crazy for Poodle. I have a question for you, because I don't know what I think about this. And so literally, I'm not trying to be coy. I literally don't know. When Kyle says, if we ran the boat like Talia, we would pretend that we don't have any guests. So where do you think they're right on this? Where, because I see his point. It does seem like she sometimes forgets that they're on a charter boat, but I also feel like, or with guests, but it does seem like Kyle and Tosh are having like fucking free time all the time.
There's a gray area.
Okay.
And for it to happen, what Nat objects to is them seeming like they're always having fun together, and when they're doing actual work, when they're supposedly she knows Kyle's a fuck up. He does do his job, but she sees we think we said this before, maybe this was on a previous episode. She sees weakness in both Kyle and Tosh.
And don't you think she hates it, but don't you think she also sees opportunity?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And
that's the part I don't love about it. She wants to take advantage of it.
She can't tolerate weakness. And especially when someone's not doing their job, because she works her fucking ass off, y'all. That woman works.
She does. She does.
And I think there's a gray there is a place where they can meet in the middle. But honestly, I think Kyle is always spending a little too much time with the guests. And Tosh probably picks up a little bit of that work. I think Nat probably is short with the guests sometimes to go do other stuff. Yes. So I think there's both are right, but what I don't like are when it gets bad is when Nat comes back and says, so you just need to get the VIP guest room done. And it wasn't done, and she freaks out on Kyle.
But we heard Kyle say though earlier, I'm going to do the VIP guest room.
Yes.
He never did it.
And probably one of the worst throwing people under the bus that we've seen this
season. They weren't on the boat. Kyle has no excuse. They were not on the boat.
Yeah.
Like me, I would, if I knew they were gone, I would do the VIP guest room first to know that that's done and they can come and be in the room and take a nap or whatever.
He didn't want to do it. He called her later on. Let's just talk about this. He calls her the head of housekeeping.
If I said that to you while you were in the room,
slit your throat.
Oh my. There's no such thing on a boat.
Yeah.
Even I know that.
And she's freaking out, and he won't take responsibility for it. He won't say he's wrong. And she freaks out. She says, there's no housekeeping. There's no difference in the second students. You do laundry. You do service as well as I do. You do housekeeping as well as I do. And he basically, he comes, don't come for me. You can't talk to anybody like you on the boat like you talk to me. But, and he says again that phrase that I don't like when men say to women, I'll put you in your place. Like, what is that? What is that place for a woman?
Yeah.
You know, it's,
I don't think he means it, but maybe he does mean it gendered like that. I'm not going to defend him.
It always feels like that to me, especially when a man says it to a woman.
No, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
And I think this was completely warranted. He needed to be called out for this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I just didn't know what.
Maybe not in that way, but she's just at the end of a rope. Earlier when she's yelling at Tosh, because nothing's going to get done. She is her superior. But the only reason Nat thinks she can even talk like that is because of Tosh's leadership style. Tosh has never been kind of strong. The only thing she says, don't disrespect me like that. That's all she can say.
I actually have a different, I disagree with you a little bit. And I'm going to tell you what about that when we come back from this break. I'm teasing you, y'all.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even keep going queens.
Yes.
Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
So what I actually agree with you a lot on that. But what I disagree with you, or actually I was going to, but I don't think she was yelling.
No, Nat wasn't yelling.
That's what I, this whole thing, she kept saying it over and over. You're screaming at your, and I went, she's talking sternly to you, but she's not even raising her voice. She really is just, I will say she was just, at this point in the show, I didn't even think she was really being mean. She wasn't saying anything aggressive. She was just saying, hey, can we do this and do that? She was just kind of trying to point out a game plan of what she needed as support.
But a lot of it was bitching because she thinks that Tosh is a terrible provisioner. And
she does, but I
think she's got a point. We've rarely had over-ordering with supplies like this. Although, and it's kind of like not Nat's business. She just needs to shut the fuck up about it.
That goes back to the storm and dinner thing. Nat needs to shut the fuck up about that.
Yeah, like, I agree.
She's over-ordering. That is none of her business. That's her job. But again, that's where it, and that's what makes, what throws off Nat's credibility is that she can't leave things alone. And she, honestly, she's going to go for the jugular on people to make herself look better. And she will never admit that. She says she's just
out.
And she'll just say, I'm calling out injustice. This is no.
And no, she has ambitions.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you Captain Sandy will work with her again.
Oh,
100%.
For sure, because she's already thrown them under the bus. I bet that she would be less inclined to work with Tosh.
Oh, I think Tosh is one of the worst chief stews Captain Sandy's ever had.
She's pretty bad.
I think, and she's really picky about things like this, y'all. Even though Hannah was her chief stew for a long time, Hannah wasn't always as nice to the guests. Was Hannah lazy? That was one of the big things. She could be. She did get her work done, but she did like her drink and her smokes. But someone like Katie worked her ass off. And although she was a little passive aggressive, she wasn't always the best leader.
No.
But of all the chief stews, Tosh is the worst Captain Sandy's ever had. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't think Captain Sandy was aware of a lot of it. Or they didn't catch it on camera. I think in the reunion, it's going to be very interesting to see what Big Sand thinks.
I think this is going to be a very, very dramatic reunion.
But I think Tasha's just going to shut down like she did on Watch What Happens Live. I think she probably will. I think we'll see her go through some trauma response.
Oh, for sure. But Kyle and Talia are going to go at it for
they
sure.
They will. Yep. And I don't think Kyle will admit anything. I think he'll say, I did what I did. And even on Watch What Happens Live, when he was on there, he's like, no, I worked my ass off on that boat. And even though he admitted in some charters, he said, I did like 10% on that charter. He's become a lot less fun for me. It's interesting.
I just don't think he wants to be on a boat. I don't think he wants to do this job.
No. I think he was there to find a husband. Like a lot of Stews tend to do, a rich husband.
It's good
and
that,
he got one. Good,
he a doctor. He's marrying a doctor.
Yeah. He's living the dream, y'all.
God, how do you find a doctor?
I don't know. Let me know. What's the song?
Let a hoe know, because I need to be doing this podcast in his yacht.
Won't
in Poodle's
you tell
yacht.
Me how?
Wow.
What's your next?
Instead, Poodle sings, won't you fuck me now? That's why
y'all,
it gets ruined.
We have a dominatrix in the charter guest this time. She looks like an alien too. She's walking there with those sunglasses,
with her bangs,
just kind of gliding through.
Yes,
these charter guests are creeps.
Remember
them. They are even creepier than before. It's like they've got
this is like
three sex tourists and all these young girls.
I was going to say, it feels like sex tourists with like photographing, and they're doing it out of the country so they can't get prosecuted for it.
Do you think this will look good when we take some nudes? Let's do some nudes here. They're like, are you a photographer? He's like, more of an amateur.
More of an amateur.
I guarantee you, I just like to watch girls.
I bet you he has an OnlyFans. Guarantee you.
Ooh. Because for a minute, I thought they might be gay. But I don't think they are.
No. They're just creepy and they've had work done.
They're creeps.
They're creepy.
Ugh.
They're creepy. They're foodies.
You know, I don't know if you know this, Maddie, but truffle oil has nothing to do with truffles. It is all chemicals.
Is that true?
I don't know. I didn't look it up. It seems like they wouldn't be able to do that.
I did look up wasp and figs, and that is true.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with eating a wasp.
I just got figs all the other day. They were delicious.
But he did that. He did that just to like gross out. The girl's like, ew. And he's like, yeah, we'll take pictures of it later.
Later.
What a creep.
Oh, wow. I looked this up. This is on eataly.com. However, the majority of rumors are true. The majority of truffle oil isn't actually made with truffles. The main ingredient is often a chemical designed in a laboratory to mimic the aroma of truffles.
Huh. So
The result is an overly pungent oil that falls flat on any dish.
Wow. I'm not a fan of truffle oil. And if it's done, it's got to be like a couple of drops.
Neither am I, but I bet you that we're not a fan of synthetic truffle oil. I bet we're a fan of real truffle oil because we're bougie bitches.
Ooh, maybe I'm like a pig. And if I have a real truffle, I'll go.
If you mean by a dick and a pig bottom, then yeah, you are. You are.
They're creeps, y'all. They're awful. They're just taking they're like, let's go up here and take some nudes.
It's gross. It's gross. It's gross. It's gross.
And I have a feeling it never feels like art photographs. It just feels like some creeper going, yeah, I like those titties. Show me that.
Show me those titties. Yeah. Why would you two like, y'all, we are very sex positive on this show. We've talked about kink and we're all into that. But I don't know if I would want, like, we talked about Folsom an episode ago.
This doesn't feel empowering. This feels like,
and I'm not looking forward to this BDSM party on the boat because also too, I don't want to, I guess those people are there to serve your every whim. But if I, let's say I was into BDSM and I was a charter on a boat, I would think about, well, I know I'm paying a lot of money, but maybe my guest, even though I'm paying a lot of money, if this puts the guest in an uncomfortable situation, or the people that work on a boat in an uncomfortable situation, I wouldn't be comfortable with that. But I guess that's why I'm not rich, because I care about what people
think.
These
people don't give a shit about that. It's all about, I think they're trying to, a lot of times people who, the thing about the BDSM community is the majority of the people who practice it are, it's all about power and the lack of it and playing with power. And there has to be consent across the board.
That's what I was going to say. It's very safe spaces.
This feels like a place where the power dynamic is already kind of skewed.
Yes, and that's why it doesn't feel good.
That's why it doesn't feel good. I don't know. Maybe these men are very good at that, but it feels like they're there with a bunch of women in their early 20s who they just want to take pictures of their boobies and
have orgies with. I guarantee you they all fuck each other.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's gross. It's gross. Yikes.
Yikes. So
let's talk about, we didn't say much about Reed aside from he's from Alabama and he's young and he's hung. And full of cum.
Fourth generation, Roll Tide,
y'all.
Roll
Tide.
I mean, he says that he has a habit of putting his foot in his mouth and saying the wrong thing. We get it edited. This episode, he's fine, but we see that he says something that upsets Courtney next episode, makes her cry. So apparently he says often, this is not a good sign, kind of like Jason. He says, often I think I'm the funniest person in the room, but I'm the only one that thinks I'm funny.
I'd agree with that. I think he is trying to show that he knows what he's doing. He'll be fine for like 3 episodes. He'll be fine. Like,
yeah, because there's only 3 more episodes left, right?
Yeah, including, 3 more after this one.
Of course,
so
literally.
15, 16, 17, and I think the reunion is 18.
But literally, he just made Courtney fucking cry.
In the next episode.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think Reed is one of those people. He'll be a footnote in Below Deck history, unfortunately. We'll barely remember him.
You know,
it's like the one from the blonde from Below Deck Sailing who replaced Gabriella.
Oh yeah.
Who was with Gary, wanted to fuck.
But here's the deal, though. It makes me appreciate Culver, because you could say that Culver is just a boring white guy as well. But Culver really, I think, has so on
Below Deck
Down
Under.
I
mean,
has more of a magnetism than Reed does.
I agree. Yeah, I don't. I think that may not be fair to compare them because Culver's had a lot more experience. And he's just a different personality. But yeah, I can see
that. I just mean his interesting white straight guy.
Oh, I don't think they're, I don't even think that they're cut from the same cloth. One is playing a different character trope than the other. One is playing the inexperienced weird guy.
What did you think whenever Reed called Captain Sandy, yes, sir?
Great. I need more. I need more. He probably almost wets his pants around her. Yes, sir. At one point, he's like running through, and he's like, "Oh, sorry, ladies. Sorry, sorry,
sorry, sorry, sorry, sorry, ladies. Sorry, lady." Oh, what's your next one?
It smells like polecat around here.
Polecat. Oh wait, I have my next one. Can we talk about the Storm and Talia breakup?
Yes. Sure.
I mean, no, but like, we didn't expect this. They like had this conversation about why he left. And she basically just says, like, look, she was like, we have a good time. But then when we go out and start drinking, and she's like, that you act different to me. And she says, this is too much, if I'm just being honest. And Storm kind of recants and says, I understand that my actions weren't appropriate, but I'm very stressed. And I went, I feel like he took all the brunt of this. Like it was his fault per se, but, or maybe he just wants to move on.
No, what he wants to do is he doesn't want to talk about it. And that it's easier for him to take, he knows Nat well enough that it's easier to take all the responsibilities. So she, and really she wanted to talk about it more. And so maybe it's almost in a one way punishing her because she wanted to talk about it more. He just leaves.
But she doesn't, but she maybe wants to talk. She did seem to want to talk about it more, but she also said like, yeah, I'm done. So I kind of think he was like, what do we talk about now?
Yeah, that's true. I think, yeah. So
that ended a lot quieter than I thought it would.
No, you're right. I think he's so in his own head. He really hasn't done what Captain Sandy thought he would do and kind of risen above all the crazy thoughts in his head. He's still so worried about doing a good job that it's sad because maybe his next charter he'll be better, but he's been kind of a messy person on this season. And he was much better before he was bosun. Definitely.
You really loved him when he was a pirate.
Yep. Not so much after.
So you still wouldn't have sex with him?
You know, I don't know.
Oh,
all
wow.
All the fun stuff is gone. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. It's all gone.
Sorry, Storm.
Too bad.
Poodle, this isn't a theater, but I just need you to do a little bit of a reenactment of where, of kind of what was happening in the mind of Captain Sandy whenever she saw two women just sitting in chairs, butt ass naked on the front of her boat.
I'm glad you said that because I kind of wrote a little monologue.
Okay.
For that.
Please go ahead.
Oh my, is that what I see? Look at that out there. Ah, look at just sitting there bare as the day God made him. Just look at that. Look at those. Ooh, it's almost like she's got a papaya under one arm and a mango under the other. makes me think about, I don't know, that time in Mykonos when I was having that affair with a chambermaid, and she and I were just listening to Paula Cole all night long. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. And we did wait, Maria. We did wait. And that's the choice I made. And if I would have taken the other road, it would have made all the difference. But now I'm here, and I'm a DJ. And I got back on that whaling vessel, and I never saw you again. So I can just look at two stacked broads and their asses from this captain's hook. Pretty good life, right? Oh, hey, Jason.
What's your name?
And with that.
And with that.
That's the show.
That's the show, everybody. We'll see you next week, everybody. Go to our website. You know where to find us. I'm
so stupid.
End it. That laid me out. Just end it.
Y'all, we'll see you next time. Until then, next time, anchors again.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, Or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.